Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings here on the 27th of December. Again, it is the week of Christmas. I certainly hope you had a great Christmas Day celebration. And Christmas does continue from a historical standpoint. The 12 days of Christmas begin to happen after Christmas. They take us to the events of Epiphany in January. And so if you still have your Christmas tree up and your Christmas lights hanging, don't feel any pressing need to take them down. You will be in alignment with the historical nature of Christmas. I'm your host for the show here on Faith Radio Mornings, Dr. Peter Kapsner. Delighted to be joining you. We are having a best of series of programs this week for the week after Christmas, in which Rachel Sutton and I and Paul Perot reflected on some of the best interviews, the best guests that we had in this past year, and thought we would bring those back for short segments here, just kind of remind us of where we've been and where we are headed. And I know in the opening segment, we are going to have about 20 minutes with Nicole J. Phillips, who joined us very regularly throughout the fall from just a kindness podcast that she does. She's also an author and a speaker, and she just does so much work on behalf of encouraging us to just have what I would call random acts of kindness, kind of that phrase that I grew up with, where in the midst of your day, taking a break from the events of the day, you think about other people and try to just bring some kindness into the world, whether it is paying for somebody's coffee in the line behind you while we're waiting at Starbucks, or engaging somebody in conversation while you're waiting in line in some other kind of place. I know that Rachel Sutton, while she was doing some work here, she brought some apples in line for some people too, as part of the polling booths when we were voting in the midterm elections. And Nicole just did such a great job with us. So we're going to listen into her for about 20 minutes and some of her reflections and interest in encouraging us as people following Jesus to be kind in this world. Of course, that music means that regular contributor to the show, Nicole Phillips, is joining us to talk about stories of kindness. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. I was so hoping for John Denver and the Muppets, though. That was my favorite. I had the video of it. I had the I guess it was a tape at the time. Also, it was that's good stuff, man.
It is. Well, Rachel Sutton's been on point all Christmas season with guest favorite music, so I can just guess, Nicole, we're going to go ahead and hear a little bit more of the Muppets Christmas there. And, you know, I don't know if you listened during some of the opening segment, but Paul is very concerned, and he remains concerned that I've never seen the movie Miracle of 34th Street. Is it at 34th Street, on 34th Street? I don't even know this movie. Have you seen this movie, Nicole?
Okay, so I was kind of in, like, Team Peter of this, because I've seen it like once. I don't really remember. In our family, the whole family sits down and watches It's a Wonderful Life. Like, that's our family movie. So I've seen Miracle on 34th Street, but I vaguely remember the letters coming in at the end. But, you know, he kind of spoiled the whole movie up for you by telling you that. So I would say, you know, you can feel free to watch anything you want now.
So, Nicole, would it be a bit of a downer if I admitted on air that I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life either?
Yeah. So now I'm taking it personally. Okay. Now I'm back on Team Paul, which means you need to sit down and watch some really great movies, pop some popcorn, get those kids sitting next to you, because if you haven't seen it, they haven't seen it. And that's part of, like, pop culture.
So the way the studio is set up around here is Paul's actually separated by bulletproof glass between us and the studio.
And
he literally
ran
back in the studio on the news that I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life. Paul, would you like to have the microphone for a second again, Paul?
Yes, I think we have a therapy session coming up here where we have to have you watch Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, and then watch Miracle on 34th Street with Natalie Wood version, and hopefully we'll get you properly situated here.
Well, we do have two big screens in the theater, so I'm going to ask Rachel Sutton, our producer, to see if she can fire up Netflix during our time here, Nicole, so I can have this on in the background. But this was a pretty kind story, I would guess. It's A Wonderful Life. You're the kindness expert. I'm guessing there's some kindness that happens in this movie.
What?
Oh, yeah. I feel that way about all Christmas stories. Like, that's why I just love this time of year. I love that we get to celebrate Jesus, but we get to celebrate the fact that people are good and they're kind and there are great things happening on screen and in real life right now. It's super cool.
Well, and you do have some stories for us this morning. I know we've covered a lot of the news and a lot of special interest subjects, and we need to do that in Faith Radio mornings, but sometimes it's nice to take a little break in the morning and just think through some specific stories of kindness that can inspire us. I know at the end of last hour, Nicole, we had a physician on who was reminding us of extending kindness to those who are experiencing tragedy during the season, and I think there's a lot of us mm-hmm. that either have tragedy from our backgrounds that still feels fresh during this time, or maybe a real fresh tragedy too. So give us some stories of kindness again as we're thinking about this season.
Yeah, interesting that you bring up the fact that Christmas isn't always a jolly time for everyone. I received a letter a few years ago from a woman, and she was telling me something that had happened when she was a single mom of a high school boy. And, you know, she said, I worked so hard to make ends meet every month. She said, and December was always the worst because you knew that there were going to be extra things that you're going to have to spend money on. So she said, I had $20 and it had to pay for gas for my car. It had to pay for school lunches for my child before the next payday came in. And there was one other thing she knew she was going to have to spend that money on. Well, her kid comes home from school and he said, Mom, tonight is our DECA, which is a student organization. Tonight is our DECA holiday party. And I need $10 because we're all going to a restaurant together. Well, she's mortified because she's like, seriously, like $10 is almost everything I have. But she's looking at his face and she does what we moms do. And we just try to figure it out, right? You just try to make it happen. And so she hands him the $10 and she realizes that she doesn't have any food in her home to eat at that moment. And she's hungry too. So she then proceeds to look through the couch cushions, which this is a mama after my own heart, because she knew that there would be some change somewhere in the couch cushions. She digs through her living room. She finds enough for a 99-cent burger at Burger King. And so she drops her son off at the party. She goes to the drive-thru of Burger King. And the voice over the speaker when she pulled up to the drive-thru wasn't super friendly. It was a young guy. And she pulls around to the front after ordering her burger, and she's painstakingly counting out each coin to make sure she really had enough there. And the guy is standing there with the drive-through window open, a young man, and he has a T-shirt on, and he's kind of muttering, hurry up, it's cold. Now, we're talking December, Fargo, North Dakota. You bet it's cold, right?
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, and so this mom, who is really, like, just so in her head about how terrible things are for her, says to the guy, you know, it'd probably help if you wore a coat in the drive-through window. And he shocked her because he said, I wish I could. He said, my dog chewed up my coat to shreds. I have a long walk to work every day, and I don't have the money yet to buy one, but I'm saving up for one. Ugh. And she's like, whoa, somebody has it worse than me. Like, whoa, because she thought there's no one to care for this kid to help him in this moment when he needs a coat. So she gets her burger, and she gets a call from her friend's husband, who happens to be a pastor. And he said, I'm standing in the lobby of your apartment. I have something I need to give you. Are you coming home? So she goes home, and she gets this beautiful gift basket. And the pastor says, people at our church like to put something together for people during the holiday season. We want you to have this. So she gets this beautiful gift basket with food and things in it. Then she gets a gift card for the grocery store. Then he hands her another gift card for Walmart. And she said it was a generous gift card, and she was just overwhelmed by this whole thing. And, you know, there are tears, and she's hugging him. And she goes to pick her son up from the restaurant, and she's telling him about the events of the night. And he said, Mom, I think we should go buy that guy a coat. And the mom says, I was thinking the same thing. So they go to Walmart, they pick out a coat, they go back through the drive-thru. They say, the guy says, what do you want? What are you going to order? And she said, nothing. I just, can I drive up? And he's confused and says, sure. Well, she hands him in a little gift bag this coat. And he's stunned. Who's this from? Who is this for? You know, and she said, it's for you. It's just, you know, God loves you and he sees you and we want you to have this. And they're pulling away and she's driving super slowly away because her son is peeking out the back window. And he's watching as all the employees are like just amazed. They're like, whoa. And they're laughing and some are crying. And it was like just the coolest moment for those people who were the coworkers of this guy. And so I just feel like, you know what, sometimes it's good to remember that we aren't the only ones going through something tough right now.
It's an incredible story, Nicole. It actually calls to mind the passage from Luke 3:11 where it says, anyone who has two shirts or two tunics should share with the one who has none. This is a very literal example of that. And it's one of those expressions of kindness that I would guess will make an imprint on this young man, maybe for a lifetime, remembering that he received a coat. It's something this simple but this profound that can make that kind of impact.
Right. And the fun part about this story is I know this woman now. And her son has graduated and everything, and she works at a church, and she is just one of the most loving, giving women, just grateful. And it's really cool to see how she still continues to spread God's love.
That's the voice of Nicole J. Phillips. We're chatting about stories of kindness in this Christmas season. And, Nicole, I know we have another one coming up after the break, and as we head into break, we're going to go into that with some Muppets.
In a pear tree.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love came to me. Four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. We're chatting with Nicole Phillips about stories of kindness for this holiday season. And Nicole, I sure wish you could have been in studio here to see Rachel and Paul's mouth literally drop open with the fact that I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
And all of your listeners too, Peter, I hate to tell you.
I think any credibility that I may have had, which probably wasn't a lot, has been completely shot here on this 18th of December. I'd be curious too, Nicole, for you, this is a busy time of year, I'm guessing, for your family. Your husband, Saul, is the head basketball coach at Ohio University. We're right in the thick of the opening of NCAA basketball schedule. Do you guys get a chance to do some celebrating still during the season?
Yeah, we're going to take the kids to Indianapolis this weekend and see a Colts game and a Pacers game and just enjoy being with each other because, you know, on Christmas Day, my husband actually has practice. That's just part of it's part of the job, you know. So we steal moments when we can. It's interesting, though, Peter, because, you know, because it's so busy, it's not just busy for us, you know, it's busy for everybody. People are traveling and doing things like that. And we can get really caught up in the hectic of where we're going and how we're going to get there. And I traveled for a speaking event last week. And it was really interesting because I was waiting at the bus stop for a little shuttle to take me from the parking lot to the airport. And there were three other men who were standing there waiting with me. So the little shuttle bus comes up and we all get on and no one is talking to anyone. And I always walk up and I make eye contact when I walk up to wait and see if someone's going to make eye contact with me. And then I say hello. So I'm making eye contact. No one's making eye contact back. And we sit down and all of a sudden this guy says, anybody gone any place warmer than this place? And we all started to laugh. And we're like, and one guy's like, yes, I'm going to Florida. And another guy's, I'm going to Texas. And I said, I'm going to Fargo, North Dakota. It was in that exact instant, like we all became kind of friends and friendly, and we were reminded that people are kind. And so I would really encourage anybody who is stuck in an elevator with strangers, stuck on a bus with strangers, you know, sitting next to somebody in an airplane, to just be the one to say, how are you doing today? And really look at them and wait for an answer.
Well, and during this time of season two, Nicole, and we've had some fun talking about these stories this morning, but given how rancorous and how difficult so often the news headlines are, or at least what the news chooses to focus on, is it's one of those things that this is, we can take it upon ourselves to bring a different kind of light and a different kind of impact into the world, because certainly we can't rely on those spinning the news cycles to bring that kind of impact into our lives.
Well, and Peter, don't you think that's what Jesus called us to do? Like, go be light, you know, go remind them that there's hope. And I think it's part of our job to wake up each day and say, okay, God, how can I go on a kindness adventure with you today?
When I think about New Year's coming up as well, and of course, many of us will make some kind of New Year's resolution. Is there some kind of staying power or something that we can do in just a regular practice in our life of kindness, not just for the holiday season, but if we want to resolve to become a kinder person, what kind of things do you suggest as we head into the new year?
I would say let it start in your brain. So most of us have cell phones. I would ask you to literally put a reminder in your cell phone once a week, once a day at 3 o'clock or however you want to do that, that says, what am I thinking about? Because when we start thinking about what we're thinking about, we'll start noticing the words that come out of our mouths. And that's a great way to start being kind. Our thoughts generally cycle around the hurry, my to-do list, the worry, what's going to happen to my kids? And then we become judge and jury over everybody else around us. And we make snap judgments about people that really don't help us to be compassionate toward them. So the simplest way to do that is just to start thinking about what you're thinking about. And, hey, Peter, before I just got to make sure we get this in there, if people want to fill their minds with wonderful things to think about, they should listen to the Kindness Podcast starting December 27th, because I've got this amazing guest. His name is Dr. Peter Kapsner, and people are going to love this interview, but that will be released on December 27th.
Yeah, I've heard about that guy and the credibility that he brings to any kind of Christmas time conversation, given his just rich history with some of the historic movies in our time. It was delightful to be a part of the podcast with you, Nicole. I know during this time of the year, it's so important to be focusing on these things. And as you think about the 2019, I know you've released a couple books as well. And do you have any projects in the works moving forward?
I do. I have a book that will come out about breast cancer in 2019, and then hopefully I will have a book that will come out for the secular audience and the Christian audience, but mainly just helping people kind of put some of these tools into place with kindness, and that will come out 2020.
And in terms of any other projects from the blog standpoint, just remind our listeners as we get ready to wrap things up here today where they can go to see some of your work and see some of the books that you have released, Nicole.
Yeah, well, my favorite thing to do is speaking, so I'm around doing that, and people can find out where I'll be on braveandkind.net. And then I have a new blog post every Monday. I have a new kindness podcast on Thursdays, and then I have a sweet kindness story that is released every Friday. So there's plenty of ways to fill your brain with positivity during this season, I promise.
Well, we certainly loved having you part of the show this past year and looking forward to a big 2019 ahead, Nicole. And I know heading into break, we've got another snippet of the Muppets, but this time it's We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Ooh, I love that one.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Now bring us a figgy pudding.
Figgy pudding?
No, figgy pudding. Made with figs.
Oh, sorry.
And bacon.
What?
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
As we look forward to tomorrow's Best of Show, I know that we're going to play a segment from Ryan T. Anderson in which he was talking about different dimensions of the LGBT conversation. Should be a really important segment. You can catch it tomorrow at 6:40. Here's a quick take on what Ryan had to say.
So I think it's a combination of technology, ideology, and then power politics. And what I mean by this is that, first, it's only going to be a plausible idea that you could be a man trapped in a woman's body or a woman trapped in a man's body and that modern medicine could reassign your sex if modern medicine now has those technological capabilities, or at least that they could claim to have those technological capabilities. In actual reality, sex reassignment procedures, they don't reassign sex. What they do is they remove certain body parts and then they construct something that resembles the opposite sexes, but they don't turn a man into a woman. So there's a technological part of this. There's also an ideological part of this. This is only plausible in the late stages of the sexual revolution. It's only after 50 years of the sexual revolution and of the 1960s that we arrive at a moment in which we say that consenting adults should do what they want to do with their bodies, and then we extend that principle to even children could change their bodies. Right? It's not just do with your bodies what you want, but actually change bodies. And lastly, there's a power politics move here. It's not surprising that most of the legal and policy changes took place right after Obergefell, Obergefell being the Supreme Court case that redefined marriage. As soon as the activists won on the marriage issue, they pivoted from the LGB part of the acronym to the T part of the acronym. And because at the time that presidential administration was very sympathetic to LGBT activists, they shifted from what they called marriage equality to trans equality. And that's where we now find ourselves.
Recently, the president, President Trump, has tried to narrow the definition of sex and gender, specifically saying that sex has to be male or female, that it's not going to be on a continuum. Where do we see this going at this point?
Yeah, I mean, the purpose of that move from the Trump administration is to respond to an unlawful action that the Obama administration did in its last months of office, where it redefined the word sex in our nation's civil rights laws to mean gender identity. And after they did this, they then said to every school that this means you have to allow students to use the bathrooms and locker rooms and showers according to their gender identity, not according to their biology. The Obama administration then said that all healthcare plans would have to cover reassignment procedures, that all relevant physicians would have to perform them. So if you're a surgeon who would perform a double mastectomy in the case of cancer, you'd have to perform it for a woman who wants to identify as a man. The Trump administration is simply saying, no, we're not going along with that. The word sex refers to the biological, anatomical, physiological reality. And while people are free to live how they want to, we're not going to be coercing schools and doctors into violating their beliefs, into violating common sense procedures, common sense practices, whether it's a bathroom policy or a medical policy.
That again was Ryan T. Anderson talking about issues related to the LGBT conversation. And that'll air as tomorrow's best of segment at the 6:48 time if you want to catch all of that. Well, up next, we have a little bit of the news to bring to you, as well as a conversation that I had with Richard Clark a couple months ago in which we talked about reading and interpreting scripture.
Prospect of the new year causes fear in you. Pay attention to the promises of Scripture. This is Jim Garlow. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world does. Do not be worried or upset. Do not be afraid." In 2 Timothy, we read, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Then from Joshua, "Do not be terrified. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And from the Psalms, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you." Finally, from Deuteronomy, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you." As you advocate for Christ in our culture, think on these things. This is Jim Garlow.
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host for the show, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined in the line at this time by Richard Clark of Christianity Today, who does a lot of their branded content management and partnership management, as well as developing the podcast network for Christianity Today. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on. I know that you just launched a new broadcast, podcast actually recently, called Living and Effective. Tell us a little bit about this podcast, Richard.
Yeah, so Living and Effective is essentially a podcast that explores sort of what happens when the Bible and humanity collide. So in those moments when the Bible comes in contact with real human beings, and then real human beings sort of like use it in complicated and varied ways, and explores what that means, what it looks like, and also like what God is doing in the midst of what tends to be kind of a messy reality.
Well, I can't think of a more important podcast than this sort of idea, Richard. I know with all the students that I teach, they tend to come out of church backgrounds, and maybe mm-hmm. they've done some scripture memorization, but that usually gets reduced down to maybe 10 or 15 verses that we kind of take out of context, maybe tape on our steering wheels and memorize. And not that that's unimportant, but boy, there's a lot of scripture that when it collides, as you said, with humanity, can get confusing pretty quickly.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think the reality is the context we're in and the type of people we are, our sort of personalities and just the experiences we have tend to color our viewpoint of scripture, especially where when we're in that sort of flawed state where we're trying to justify things or make ourselves feel better. We tend to read things in certain ways that maybe aren't intended in scripture, right? And so I think that results in sort of within culture and within individual scenarios, a lot of interesting sort of results and outcomes that you wouldn't anticipate when you're reading scripture sort of with clear eyes, right?
Absolutely.
And trying to just understand them in the way that God wants us to see it.
Well, I think one interesting example I know for me, Richard, is that I'm very tempted, having grown up in America, and I love our country, I'm very grateful for it, but it's a very individualistic nation. And so I tend to think that I have my personal relationship with God and sort of the rest of you are optional from time to time.
Right.
And yet that would be one example in which I might end up reading into the text things that aren't there because I think it's just really all about my personal relationship.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the reality is that most, if not all of the Bible was written to the collective church, right? The global church, in fact. And as we read through scripture, it's written to different groups of people in different places in time. And the way we get meaning from that is to say, what is it trying to say to those people? And then what does that mean for us? I think the thing that we've done wrong in the past is look at scripture and say, what is it saying to me right now? And it does have something to say to me right now, but all of that has to be funneled through what was it saying to them at the time, what does that mean, and then what does that say to us and me in that in my role in this whole collective thing, right? That is the global church.
Yeah, and but that seems like a tricky process. I mean, it can sound good that we get started that way, right? But how is it helpful to read a variety of perspectives on what a given biblical text might be suggesting? Because I know for me, again, another way in which the text gets colored for me is mm-hmm. when I read my own theological lens into it. And sometimes I just assume the Bible is saying X, Y, Z because I already have a grid of some maybe theological position that I have or something along those lines. Is it helpful to read a variety of people's take on what the text is trying to say?
I think it's incredibly helpful to do that. And what you want to be careful not to do is sort of the take at face value any one person's take on the text. And, you know, one of the most important things, obviously, is to have a real understanding of sort of the infallibility of God's word, the authority of God's word. But to your point, I mean, one of the things, you know, one of our episodes that's coming up of our podcast, Living Ineffective, is about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and how he sort of made the choices he made, which were pretty fateful choices, right? There are huge stakes involved in the choices that he made. But one of the things that's fascinating to me about Dietrich Bonhoeffer is that he did make that conscious decision, I'm going to seek out other perspectives on scripture. And one of the ways he did that was by traveling to New York and experiencing essentially the Harlem Renaissance. And he would go into black churches and actively seek out, like, how were they interpreting scripture, especially in this moment of the civil rights movement and all of the challenges that they were having there. That, to me, is, like, one of the key ways that we can learn scripture is by learning how other people, unlike us, who nonetheless believed in the authority and inspiration of scripture, were able to sort of like interpret scripture for themselves in their context, and what can we learn from that?
That's incredibly important. We're talking with Richard Clark this morning of Christianity Today that does a lot of work with content management and partnerships and develops the podcast network for Christianity Today, including the new podcast, Living and Effective, that talks a bit about how we can sort of navigate the circumstances when the Bible and the messages of the Bible really end up crashing into our time and space as human beings. And Richard, as you think about the kind of people you want to have on your program on the podcast, who are you inviting to speak to some of these issues?
Yeah, so like we were just saying, we want a diversity of inputs and viewpoints. So we're looking to sort of, like, every episode, we're looking to sort of get three things. We're sort of getting the fact on the ground as we know them. And then we're looking to get sort of like a personal take on it, or maybe sort of some clarification, and then we're sort of getting a takeaway, right? And so those three points sort of lead us to look towards historians. So in the first episode, we have Mark Knoll, who is like maybe one of the most renowned historians on the subject of the Bible in American history. And then we have Steve Patton, who has a lot of knowledge, personal experience. He sort of wrestled through the issue of slavery in America and how the Bible was used in that context. And then we have in the first episode, we have Thabiti Onyebuile, who is just the guy you want to hear from when it comes to this subject in terms of pastorally. How do I deal on a heart level, on a soul level, with the facts on the ground, which are not good, right?
Like, yeah.
One of the things about that we learn in our first episode, which is called The Slave Master's Bible, is that slavery was largely supported by Bible-believing Christians. Christians who, you know, I don't think you can really call into question their belief in the Bible, but what you can call into question is their hermeneutic. In particular, they seem to lead with, like, how can I justify myself? And I think it's just really easy to do that. And we see, you know, we do this with other forms of and media. I mean, we watch a movie and we get a totally different lesson out of it than maybe was intended. Or we watch, you know, or we read a book and we get out of it what we want. We read an article, we get out of it what we want. And so we can do the same thing with the Bible, whether or not, you know, it's trying to say that. And I think our goal with the guest that we're choosing is just to sort of like vary the perspectives and see if we can come to consensus in terms of like how the Bible was used, and then look at what not only what is the Bible actually saying, but bringing it a step further and seeing like what was God doing with Scripture. If people were misinterpreting it, was there anyone who wasn't? You know, was there something God was doing that was a little more subversive? Was there something that God was doing somewhere else where we're not looking? Those are the questions we're trying to get to the bottom of there. With our guests, basically.
Well, I think with the amount of paralysis so many of us feel when we try to get into the biblical text, this podcast can be so helpful for getting beneath the surface of the text. And you referenced the idea that the Bible was used in support in that day of slavery. And when we come back from break, Richard, I would love to dig in that a little bit more. What did you learn in that first podcast, and what can we learn as we look to interpret the scriptures on any of these given issues? So more with Richard Clark from Christianity Today in just a moment on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Peter Kapsner, and we're joined by Richard Clark, who does a lot of the podcasting for Christianity Today and develops a lot of the branded content as well for a new source that I know many of you as listeners access, whether it's online or through some of the old periodicals. I know, Richard, growing up, Christianity Today was on most of the shelves in the churches in which I was. Do you still have sort of a paper periodical that you send out?
Totally, yes, we do. And it's better than ever, in my opinion. I mean, it's really good these days. I would definitely subscribe at ChristianityToday.com.
Well, there's something about just holding the tangible pages, you know, dusting them off,
totally.
Whatever it is, yeah, that really makes an impact. Well, we were talking before the break a little bit about an example in which Scripture was misused to support something that probably shouldn't have been supported and obviously shouldn't have been supported, and that was slavery. Probably should have been thinking twice about that back in the day. And so you did your first episode on the podcast of looking at how this went down and why slavery was being supported by the Bible. Tell us about what you learned in that.
Yeah, I mean, the most striking thing to me was just how sort of silent the mainstream church as we know it was. There are a lot of figures and heroes that we have in the faith from that time period, and a lot of them just didn't say anything or, if anything, actively supported slavery. One example that I was really struck by was Jonathan Edwards himself, who, you know, just a few weeks after preaching Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, sort of wrote an outline of a sort of an argument against or in support of a pastor who owned slaves and his ownership of slaves. And that's a striking, you know, that's a striking thing to have to reckon with and think about, that sort of our leaders of the faith, our heroes of the faith, were able to sort of like convince themselves that slavery was fine at worst, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And
I just think too, I mean, I remember how humbling seminary felt for me, Richard, because I guess I sort of went in thinking I already knew it all and it was just going to confirm what I already knew. But boy, yeah. it began to be the sobering thing that if you're going to be a voice for the kingdom and try to represent the kingdom, that takes a fair degree of humility. But boy, we often don't set up our pastors for that kind of work, do we? We just assume that they should know all the answers at all times.
Right. I think that's true. And I think one of the things that we hesitate to do is sort of explore these really dark realities, right, of how the Bible tends to be used. And that opens us up to the same thing. You know, history repeats itself. We don't learn it.
Right.
And that's something that I think, you know, we can we need to learn history so that we're not doing the same thing. That's a large part of what this podcast is.
Yeah, when you look ahead and you think about how many episodes, and by the way, tell our listeners where they can catch the podcast if they want to go hear what you're doing with Living Ineffective.
Yeah, anywhere you get a podcast, so Apple Podcasts app, Google Play, Stitcher, any of those, or if you just go to livingineffective.com, you can read more about it and subscribe there.
That's great. And so when you think about ahead and some of the, I'm sure you have a number of podcasts that are already on the docket and in the works right now. What are some things that you're going to be exploring moving forward as part of Living Ineffective?
Yeah, so we've got a podcast coming out about the Jesus People movement. So that will be basically exploring the question of what happens when the Bible is sort of a fad, something that is a little bit of a flash in the pan. It's an interesting, sort of more lighthearted look at scripture in the world, but interestingly, and I think equally hard question, which is, you know, is it good that the Bible is suddenly cool in the world? Is that a good thing? And what does that mean? We've got episode coming up on the printing press and how that changed the way we look at scripture. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as I mentioned earlier, about, you know, basically how do you obey scripture? How do you even look at obeying scripture when sometimes you feel like you need to do something that feels contrary to what scripture says. And you know, all of these episodes, I do want to say all of these episodes are not meant to be huge bummers. They have a redemptive theme across them, which is, that God's word is in fact living and effective, despite the fact that when you first look at it, it seems as if God's word, like we're just misreading it all the time and mishandling it. But the reality is God is still at work, and we see examples of that in our first episode. While slavery is happening and the Great Awakening is happening, there's also an awakening happening underneath, you know, in places that we're not looking. And I think that's really, really inspiring and hopeful. This has essentially been a hopeful exercise for me in that respect.
Well, I just think getting back in the history, as you're suggesting, and looking at some of these issues is so important for understanding where we are currently, and it can be very hopeful. I mean, the biblical text has been a long time, and Richard, we only have a couple minutes left here, but I'd be curious, you referenced the printing press, and I think it's one of those things that we as believers maybe don't always understand, is that prior to the printing press, the text was really not accessible to very many people. So can you give us a little sneak preview about what you hope to cover on that episode?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, we're still working on this one, so I'm hesitant to say, because all of these episodes are like discovery processes for me, and sort of part of what the episodes are is like me taking people through my thought process as I'm discovering new things. But what's fascinating to me is that we've been on this trajectory of like accessibility of the Bible more and more and more throughout history. There's and what's fascinating is these great revivals or these great religious uprisings that we see take place in history are aligned with technological revolutions. So we have, the printing press happens and then the Reformation happens. We have, there's a lot of examples of that aren't coming to my mind at the moment. But it's just interesting how technological revolutions have spiritual implications in particular. And they're not always good either, right? Like, the reality is the more accessible the Bible becomes, the easier it is to mishandle it or handle it trivially. And we're sort of grappling with that question there. And particularly looking at Luther and how Luther sort of exhibits both of these tendencies, to both use the scripture, make it more accessible to everyday people, but also he wrote a lot of things, and they're not all good, right? Like, he was anti-Semitic. A lot of people know that. And his anti-Semitism provides a real challenge. And so those sorts of things, I think are interesting and important to grapple with as Christians.
Well, I think that it's going to be a fascinating podcast you're developing and really needed in this time, Richard. So before we run, just remind our listeners one more time where to go if they want to access it.
Yeah, you can go to livingineffective.com or any place where you would download podcasts, so Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, any of those.
Wonderful. It's Richard Clark of Christianity Today talking about the podcast Living Ineffective, and we'll be back with more on Faith Radio Mornings. I always love those kinds of conversations, talking about reading and interpreting scripture. I know for me growing up, because I was part of programs like Awana, which were great programs, I ended up memorizing maybe 15, 20 verses of scripture. And I sort of assumed on that basis that I understood all of scripture. I think at last check, I am now up to about 1.9% of understanding of scripture. There's just so much there, and it can feel so daunting and intimidating to actually get into the biblical text. So having conversations like this with Richard Clark, in which we're invited to engage more deeply and empowered to do so, I know is something that can be really helpful for our faith, as the Bible is so important as a guideline for life. So great first hour. More to come here as part of our Best Of show on the 27th of December.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.